A couple weeks ago, we were in Mark, and we're back there now. We were talking about rules, and we were talking about how we love to make rules, how we love to live with rules, we just talked about how rules kind of make us feel close to God. And even though they make us feel close to God, sometimes they can pull us away. So I was a little bit concerned after I talked about rules that maybe somebody might start thinking, hey, I wonder if he's talking to me. You know, that like I was talking directly to them, like these sermons that we're doing, it'll be the last time I preach and then this Sunday, and then we'll have a couple of weeks that we're going to do youth and children stuff, and then we'll pick back up, and so it'll be kind of like, it'll be a little disjointed, but I keep wondering if somebody's going to think, hey, he's after me, or, you know, he's got somebody in particular in my sights, or if I have some specific agenda against certain rules and trying to unseat certain ones. And the truth is that I do. I do have somebody, the one who loves rules and the one who manipulates rules and the one who would rather who loves rules more than God. That person's me. You know, that's who's in my sights. That's who this is about. The first sermon on legalism and this sermon and the next ones, they're for me. And I hope that they're helpful for you as well. But you're mostly just kind of overhearing the talk in my head. And so if you start wondering if it's really about, you know, the guy in the fourth row over there, it's not. I'm talking about me. So you can relax. And that is unless you're like me. And unless you're like me and you realize that God is dealing with you like he's dealing with me. The disciples had apparently been violating some rules. They'd been eating without going through the ceremonial washing of hands. And it made the Pharisees pretty angry because they had a rule, a tradition, that said that you have to wash your hands in a certain way in order to get all the unclean stuff off so that you don't touch your food, get the uncleanness on the food, and then eat it, and then the uncleanness that's outside of your body comes into your body, and then you're unclean all the way through and through. And so Jesus said, look, you guys missed the point. God is not about how we follow our rules and how we follow his rules. It's about having our hearts connected to God, near him. And so we paused because I left, but Jesus didn't pause. He just continued on. So we're in Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he said, and he who speaks evil of his father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father and his mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things like this. Jesus says, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition, in order to keep your own little rules. Now, that's a serious charge that Jesus is making here, because last time we talked about rules, I was a little bit generous. You know, I said, you know, we make rules in order to help us to keep the commandments, because we really want to be more Christ-like, so we set up all of these rules. And I recognize that that might be misguided, but surely that's the truth. Surely, we wanted to make us more spiritual, even though following rules and chasing after rules makes us less. But I'm convinced that we do it for good reasons. Jesus, however, is not convinced that we do it for good reason. I wonder if maybe we convince ourselves that we do it for good reasons. I know the Pharisees had themselves completely convinced that all of their rules were good and that they had them for good reasons. But Jesus says, we use our rules to keep us from having to obey God. He has an example for us. You see, the Ten Commandments are perfectly clear. Honor your father and mother. The Bible is clear about that. And it means more than just being a good boy or girl. You know, whenever you're little, honor your father and mother means you don't talk back. It means you do what they say. It means all those things that we think about. But when you say it to an adult, it has a little bit different meaning. When you say it to an adult, it means take care of your parents. Honor them. It's a financial thing. It means if they don't have food on their table, you buy food and put it on their table. It means that if they can't make their house payment, then they come and live with you. It means that you have financial responsibility for your parents. Now, you also, of course, have giving relational honor and that sort of thing too. But the major portion of this, when you're talking to adults, is taking care of your parents. It's a major responsibility. God takes it seriously. In their culture, they took it very seriously. To neglect your parents was a huge dishonor. You just had to do it. Now you can imagine, in a society where everybody has lots of kids, you can kind of imagine how they might have passed the buck around a little bit. I don't know, your siblings probably never did it, but there's a certain amount of jobs that have to be done, and everybody has to divvy it up evenly. You can just imagine squabbles over who took care of mom and dad more. Who contributed more? Did you kick in enough? And did I get credit for that bottle of aspirin I brought from home? And you know how it works. And the commandment is clear: honor your father and mother. But the Pharisees, they are students of the law. And like lawyers, they kind of like to squirm and twist things until they can do whatever they want. And so that's what they did. And so there was a tradition that said, you can declare something dedicated to God. They called it korban. And it was like it had been sacrificed. It was just given for service in the temple, and it was like it was already gone. The thing was, it remained in your control. It was just dedicated to God. You made a vow to say that it was for God. So it was a vow. Now there is a way around things. You make a vow. A person should keep their vows, right? Especially vows to God. You make a promise to God, you ought to keep it. So what they did was this. They said, I'm going to designate all of the money and all of the resources and all of the income that I have, I'm going to designate it all korban. In other words, this is all set aside for God. It's like it's already sacrificed. It's like it's already gone. It's all for the service of God. It's like I'm such a good person. All of this, everything that I have is for God. And so when their parents come up with need, they go, oh no, do you know what I did? I gave all of my money at the church. Everything that I have, it actually belongs to God because I gave it to Him in a vow. And I know it looks like I have lots of money here, and I know it looks like I'm just, doing the things that I want to do, but this is all for God. It's all in His service. And so I'm unable to do anything here. So brothers, sisters, you all need to kick in a little bit more. And it was brilliant. It was nicely played. I mean, they get to do what they want to do. And they're obeying one part of the law, and it allows them to keep what they want and ignore the part of the law that they don't. So you can do whatever you want, all the time talking, running your mouth about what a great person you are. Now that is a pretty great way to deal with things, isn't it? Jesus had a little different take on it. He said, you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would have helped you is korban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus invalidating the word of God. He said, you're invalidating the word of God. He says, you've taken the small part of the law, keeping vows. You've applied it to a tradition that you have, that is, that you can dedicate something that you have to God. And you have used this ethical law that just says you ought to be honest, you ought to stick to your word. You take that ethical law and you use that to invalidate a major portion of the law, one of the Ten Commandments. You invalidate that you should honor your father and mother. And Jesus said, and that's just one thing you do. You do a whole bunch of these kinds of things. And you guys are worried about my disciples? You guys are worried that my disciples don't wash their hands enough? You don't honor your father and mother? You're worried about their hands? But you know, rules are like that. You know, if you live by rules, that's just the way it works. You know, you can manipulate rules. And if you've ever lived by rules, you know what I'm talking about. Let's talk kids. Because all of us have kids. Kids are an easy target on this one. Because kids operate by rules, don't they? Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. That's a rule, right? I mean, it's the way that things work. So you're having problems with your son, attitude. Your kids probably never have that. I chose a son, obviously, so I don't have to pay my kids. Anyway, so your son has attitude, but it's getting better. And so you say to this six-year-old boy, you say, son, your attitude's doing so much better. Tomorrow, I'm going to take you to a movie. It's great. Promise? Yeah, I promise. We're going to the movies. So the next day, your son starts in with his siblings. I get to go to the movie and you don't. Na, 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 na. And they start, pretty soon, they're at it. They're fighting. They start throwing fists, and you're separating them out. You're saying, what are you doing? How can you do this? And there's blood and everything. And then your son starts to punish you for being a father. I can't believe you did that. You know, he's treating you like garbage. And so it comes movie time, and you say, look, we're not going to the movies. Your attitude stinks. And what do they say? But you promised. It's like, I've got the rules. And they begin to manipulate you, even though they have this bad behavior that invalidates what you're trying to do. They try to manipulate you and say, you promised. And rules are rules. And he wants one rule, that is that you keep your promise, to overshadow this other rule, this major rule, that you're supposed to have a good attitude and treat your siblings with honor. What do you know? You can manipulate rules. It's the way it works. Let's talk taxes. You know? I mean, if there's one place in our country that's a treasure trove of rules, it's taxes. You want to buy a new SUV? A green one, of course. You want to get one that, you know, it's a hybrid. It gets great gas mileage. Leather seats, of course, and get the little video player in the back so you can play the movie for your kid so he doesn't blame you for skipping it. So you think, how am I going to do this? I don't have the money. Wait. A couple years ago, my wife signed us up for Amway, and we have our own business. And so I'm going to buy this SUV. It's actually a business expense because every business needs a vehicle, right? So I'm going to buy this SUV and I'm going to write it all off, and then I'll have the government help me pay for part of this toy that I want. And somehow we do it and it's all okay by the rules. But somewhere along the lines, we miss the point that this is a deduction for a business. It doesn't really fit that, but we manipulate the rules to get what we want. It's okay. It's the way that it works. You can manipulate rules. Or how about this one? You have a whole bunch of appliances sitting out in your backyard that you moved out when you got new ones. They've been sitting there and just gathering rain and breeding mosquitoes. And you think to yourself, I got to get rid of these things, but it costs money to have them hauled off, and it costs money to have... to take them to the dump. They charge you by weight, and they're full of water now. It's going to weigh a ton. So So you get this idea. You say, hey, there's Goodwill right down the road. So you get your buddy with a pickup truck to come, and you load these things in the back of the pickup truck, and you take them down to Goodwill, you donate them, you get a receipt for it, and at the end of the year, you turn it in on your taxes. Now that's a good plan. You know, and somehow, and it's all legal, it's all by the rules. You did it just fine by the rules. But somehow we forgot that what you've actually done is you've cost this charity money, because now they have to get rid of it. And you haven't helped anybody, and yet you've gotten a tax write-off for it. You can manipulate the rules. That's the way rules work. You know, those are all examples from the world, right? We would never do anything like that in church. Because churches are not a place where you deal with rules, are they? There was a rule at the church where I was serving. You shut off the lights when you're done. That's a good rule, right? When you're done, shut off the lights. That's a great rule. One Christmas, we had a children's program. We had close to 100 kids involved in this children's program. And it was a big deal. It took weeks and weeks to get it off the ground. Probably 30 different volunteers that were working with it. We had a couple of people who were kind of leading it out. Whenever we did it, there were, you know, a couple hundred people who came to watch this children's program. It was great. The directors stayed until late, helping to tear everything down and supervising all of that stuff well into late into the night. The next morning, a lady comes storming into my office, and she's mad. She said, "Do you realize they left a light on back there? I called them and told them about it." I'm like, oh my goodness, are you serious? Because that's the rule. You've got to shut off the lights when you're done. That's part of what we do here. And so she called these people up who had donated hundreds of hours, and for a nickel's worth of electricity, she let them have it. She was perfectly within the rules. I mean, but somehow, and she got exactly what she wanted. She got control. She got exactly what she wanted. She got to show everybody that she was really in charge. But somehow she missed the point, didn't she? That it wasn't about her. That it was about ministering to these kids. And it was about these people who'd spent so many hours donating their time and being a part of it. And she just sucked the life out of it. You can manipulate rules. Well, we wouldn't do that in something. I mean, we might do it in church, right? But we wouldn't do it in our lives, right? I mean, not in our walk with Christ, would we? I mean, we would never look at our giving and make excuses, would we? You know, I made a vow to the Lord that I would tithe of my income. Suppose he means net or gross. I wonder if I brought that dishwasher out of my backyard, donated that to the church, would that count against it? What about the time that I donate? Does that, you know, does that count against it? I mean, really, before long, you're putting $10 in the offering plate every other week. And the reason is that you've manipulated your way out of fulfilling the vow that you made. And you've ended up looking for legal loopholes so you can do whatever you please. And what do you know? You can manipulate the rules. You're a leader in church, teach Sunday school, lead the men's ministry. You have all your beliefs in a row, but when it comes to dealing with people, you're a real jerk. You treat people like garbage, like they're beneath you, like what they do doesn't matter. And when somebody challenges you, you point to your spiritual credentials. You say, I've taught here for 20 years. And I don't see how I treat people outside of here affects anybody's salvation. I got these bylaws here. They don't say you have to be nice. And so you continue to teach and lead because you have the rules. And you fit the rules. and you manipulate them to make you look spiritual and good. What do you know? You can manipulate rules. You ever known somebody who's so busy at church that they can't love the people around them? They said, I do it all for the Lord. You know, look at the list of things that I do. Here's my resume. Your kids don't know that you love them. Your neighbors have no idea that you're a Christian. Your coworkers think you're stuck up. And so you do exactly what you want to do, and you ignore love all by following the rules. What do you know? You can manipulate rules. You know, we talk about fellowship, but we ignore people. We study the Bible. We never think about applying it. We share prayer requests, but we don't really care. We honor our traditions, and we get exactly what we want. What do you know? You can manipulate the rules. But I wonder if we've missed the point. You know, Jesus is saying, you have used tradition to undo all of the things that God said were most important. And you've done it with your silly rules. You dishonor your parents. You ignore what God is saying to you. You treat people like they don't matter. You gossip in the name of care. And when you want to make it sure it looks like you're really spiritual, you line up all these rules and you tell us all about it. All the time, you're ignoring what really matters to God. And you're worried. Did they wash their hands? Did they properly wash their hands before they ate? Seriously? You're worried about whether somebody doesn't honor your tradition correctly? You know, are the flags where they're supposed to be? Did we sing the right songs? Who had the authority to give that Bible away? Are they a member? Should we listen to them? Did somebody paint that wall? Nobody asked me. We're convinced that the rules that we thump are the ones that really matter. Why aren't your disciples washing their hands? And there's an irony that's happening here in the Scripture that I think is really the point. You see, these guys who are accusing the disciples of not following the rules, they're standing in front of God in human flesh. Yahweh has come and dwelt among us. He is Emmanuel. These guys, they could reach out and touch him. And they want to talk about, are your disciples following the rules? It's like, Jesus is standing right there. That's all they can talk about. Hey, did you, come on, pick up the game a little bit. Let's wash our hands right. You know, Jesus, you need to pay a little more attention to your disciples. You need to follow the rules a little bit better. Jesus is right there. You know, Jesus is right here. Right among us. Do you think we can find something other to talk about than the rules? He's right here, right with us. It's easy for our hearts to be set on the rules. Rules are easy. But Jesus wants our heart. Jesus is right here. We have our own agenda. We have things we want to do. We have plans on how to make it happen. Our hearts are set on it. Jesus wants our hearts set on Him. He's right here. He's come to meet us in worship. All of us have taken time out of our holiday weekend to come and meet with Jesus. Wouldn't it be a good thing for us to lay down our agendas as we come to Jesus? Wouldn't it be nice for us to put aside our rules, to stop manipulating, to simply hear Jesus? You know, can we stop calculating all the rules and all the loopholes and all that? Can we stop long enough to listen to Jesus. And I wonder if all of the clamoring for the rules were to die out, and we were to listen, if we might just hear Jesus. Let's stand.